We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It's that time of the week. We want everybody to air their grievances, large or small, petty or irreverent. However some person, place, thing has wronged you, let the world know. This is your opportunity. The microphone is yours. Be heard. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Let's start it off with Alex in Virginia. Alex, what's up, man?
Hello, B. Mitchell Finley. Thanks for taking my call. I want to bleep you to the mechanic at AAA who said he fixed my AC last week, because it is not fixed. And I am doing my regular hour-and-a-half trek through creepy 66 and 495. I am sweating my ass off right now. I'm going to have some choice words for that young man on Saturday.
Uh-oh, you're going back to him.
How much did it cost you?
Definitely, it cost me about $3,000 to get a brand new compressor, AC flush, a couple belts, and some other small tweaks just to keep the van moving. But this AC ain't working. I feel like Ace Ventura with my head out the window just trying to catch some fresh air.
Oh, wow.
What are the chances you fist fight this guy? Not that we're advocating for it.
I try to be a peaceful man. But if he tries to charge me another penny, then he might have a couple fingers.
All right.
Thank you for the call, Alex. Good luck with the AC, man. That is tough, dude. I remember when I was just out of college and I started my first job. I was selling insurance, and I was driving this car that the AC quit working, and I was so stupid I didn't realize it. Like, I knew it was just blowing hot air, but I just would keep it blowing hot air. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell? And then finally, I had a young lady in my car, and she's like, dude, what are you doing? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, you got to get your AC fixed. I was like, oh. And then she's can you just drop?
Back pedal.
she asked if I could just drop her.
You didn't know your air conditioner was broke.
I mean, I knew it wasn't blowing cold air. Yeah, I knew that part.
But you didn't think that I got to get this fixed. You just went and picked up a young lady, and you had her sweating like hell, like you.
She asked me to drop her at the Metro.
Oh, okay.
That's how well it went. Yeah, but now I'm fully aware of Freon charges the whole nine yards. Let's go to Morris in D.C. Morris, what's going on, man? It's Bleep You Thursday.
Hey, how you doing? B. Mitch and Philly.
What's up, brother?
Good, buddy.
Just calling about the sad issue on Saturday happened, you know, about the people in Buffalo getting killed. It was real sad.
Yeah. That's awful. Nothing to joke about there. That's horrendous. Certainly, yeah. Man, bleep you to that guy, no doubt about it. We try to keep it a little more lighthearted, but that is absolutely deserved there. I have just a bleep you in general, and I am cognizant that I'm not like blaming any one person for gas prices being what they are, but I filled my truck up. How much you think it's going to cost me there and back going to the beach this weekend?
You should be able to get there. How many? It's like an hour or something, 2 hour ride?
I mean, it's supposed to be about 2.5, but you never know with traffic and stuff.
I drove a few weekends ago from my house down to Busch Gardens and back, and I think my gas was just a little bit under a half a tank when I got back completely.
Oh, wow. So you got
and that may be
your house to Busch Gardens and back on a half tank of gas?
Just a little bit over a half tank. So I think that your truck but should probably be – you should be able to get there and back with a full tank.
All right. That wouldn't be bad at all. All right. Well, that's encouraging.
Unless that that little machine in your car is a little too heavy, it might make your car work a little harder because you know you couldn't carry your foosball
table. My foosball table.
You couldn't carry.
I got it in there last night. I'll have
you got some
shout
help?
Out to my neighbor. My neighbor came over. We carried it in there and grunted a little bit, but it worked just fine.
Oh, okay.
Worked just fine. Also, I have another bleep you prepared. I have a few of them as I usually do, Brian. Who's my favorite golfer on the planet?
Your favorite golfer? Tiger, right?
No, I love Tiger, but I'm a Rory guy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, Tiger was, but Tiger now just isn't what he was. I love Tiger, but I love Rory. And I usually bet and pick Rory in every major. And you and I were talking about this yesterday. I said, you know what? I'm not picking Rory anymore. Whenever it happens, it'll happen, and I'll be so happy, but I'm not going to be along for the ride of all the other ones he doesn't win.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening today is
he's minus five
in first place. He's five under through 13 holes.
But see, his problem is normally not the first day. It's normally like the second, third day when he seems to have an issue.
Yeah, I mean, there's usually one blow-up round, but ain't it meant to be that the time I decide I'm not going to pick him is when he comes out and he's going to shoot, what do you figure, a 68 today or something?
Well, you could probably go pick him right now. I'm sure the odds are still good.
I mean, I wonder, I imagine they've changed pretty significantly, but I did want to allow if you or Landfill or anybody had a bleep you wanted to get off your chest. I don't want
to. I'm bleeping you to Nick Saban. That's where I'm going, straight there. Shut the hell up.
Why?
Because, I mean, he's sitting up here acting like he's not doing the same thing that he's trying to accuse people of doing.
I think that's a good one, and it's certainly fair. And, I mean, you saw this with Coach K, right? Like
Rory's plus 280 right now.
But, dude, for a top five and a top ten, for top five, he's minus 150. And a top ten, he's minus 300. That's pretty
crazy.
Well,
to win, plus 280.
Yeah. But Saban, like Coach K, they get so self-righteous. And it's like, dude, this is college sports. Everybody knows how the sausage gets made.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you hang on? That doesn't change that you're a terrific coach. But I would hang on with some of the self-righteousness.
There
that would
go.
Be my suggestion. Landfill, do we have Adam in Arlington on line one? Adam, what's up,
yes,
dude?
Sir.
It's Bleep You Thursday.
Good afternoon, boys. All right, so I got a kid in preschool, and preschool has been a debacle with COVID this year and everything. We've missed days, the whole thing.
Yep.
Her little best friend in preschool, their family took a two-week vacation to Europe. Shocker. The day after they come back, the dad tests positive for COVID.
Mm.
They don't test the kid till 2 days later. Shocker, now the kid is positive. If they had tested the kid on the first day and he was negative, they wouldn't have to close the school. Now, because he's positive and they didn't test, school's closed for a week.
Wow.
Man, people... Everybody fights their own battles, and thank you for the call, Adam. I'd be furious if I was
that parent. You need to put a foot in him. You need to put a foot so far that they call him Shoe Booty.
When he starts talking,
you can smell the wax coming out of his mouth. That's the dumbest thing in the world, right there.
It's irresponsible, man.
Yep.
And people are so damn selfish. And I get it on some level. I get it because we've been stuck in this never land world for 2 years now, but like you got to keep the kids. I mean, I've dealt with it at my house. I've dealt with it at the schools my daughters go to. I mean, that is so irresponsible that those people, what is an appropriate penalty for the parents there?
Let me give him a couple jabs right in his nose.
You know, in, Game of Thrones, when the princess got dragged through the streets naked and everybody just yelled shame at her.
You know,
I think that should happen.
But I've never seen it.
I I think it's incredibly not shocking you haven't seen it, but I think it's kind of a surprise I've seen it. It was just such a big pop culture phenomenon that, whatever, I watched it. I'm not the biggest Game of Thrones guy. Sorry, I don't believe in dragons. But those people should be drawn and quartered.
Sounds like you are a big Game of Thrones guy.
I mean, that scene is, like, iconic of the last 10 years of television. You know that scene, Landfill.
I would say of the four people that work on the show, you're the only one that knew about it.
Hey, Jeff, man. Walker, you never watched Game of Thrones?
I've watched it. I think the last episode, because I'm not a real big TV guy. Last episode I got to was when the little boy got kicked out of the window for catching, what was it, his aunt and uncle have intercourse, and they were like brother and sister or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was the last scene I saw.
So I'm pretty sure that's the first episode, Jeff.
No, it's the first season. I don't think it's the first episode.
You know, the more I hear about the show, the more glad I am that I never watched it. Yeah.
Listen, there's a lot of nudity, a lot of sex in Game of Thrones.
That's why JP watched.
All right.
Free
Jeff,
only fine. Fans.
Since Jeff has a microphone available, bleep you to Jeff for telling us he knows these people on OnlyFans and we didn't get on the show.
Yeah.
And then we never got them. What the hell, Jeff?
I gotta bleep you, man. My bleep
to yourself?
It's not to you, though. My bleep you is more so to people who call chicken wings boneless. That is a chicken nugget, no matter how you look at it. I've never seen a chicken with boneless wings.
Thank you.
Like,
give me a boneless
that.
Chicken wing. No, that's a damn nugget.
It is completely accurate. Completely accurate.
That's a good
There's
one.
There's no
there,
such
Jeff.
Thing
like
as
that.
Boneless wings.
Yeah, boneless. Why is it boneless?
That is really just a way for people that are scared of real chicken wings to claim they're eating chicken wings.
I guess.
It is.
But you should eat those because you leave so much meat on the bone, you just eat boneless.
Dude, Jeff, the episode you're talking about in Game of Thrones is the first episode. So you can't say that you watched it.
He hasn't seen it since the first episode.
Yeah.
That was the first episode?
According to Danny Ruhier, I knew it was early. I'm pretty sure it's the first episode.
I'm telling you, that episode seemed long as I don't know what, man.
I used to fall asleep a good amount, and it would drive my wife crazy. Yeah, I mean, that probably came out 7-8 years ago.
Damn.
Listen to this. That scene is pretty memorable. Will Brinson, who we've had on the show a million times, does NFL for CBS Sports. He said back in 2008, he was covering the Wyndham Championship down in Greensboro. I think it's at Sedgefield, whatever that course is.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided just to follow around John Daly for the whole round. And he kept track of everything that Daly put into his body. All of it. And that... You're talking North Carolina in either July or August. It's pretty warm down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you over-unders. This is during an 18 holes of golf. Over-under 4.5 packs of peanut M&Ms.
Where?
What's that?
You say over-under, you going to eat them?
Did I cut out on you? I'm sorry. Under 4.5 bags of peanut M&Ms.
What about it?
That John Daly ate in 18 rounds of golf.
18 holes.
18 holes of golf.
I would say over.
He ate 6 bags of peanut M&Ms in 18 holes.
Wait. How many beer did he drink?
This was a tournament, a PGA tour.
Because I played golf with him at a tournament down in Florida, and I think he was doing like 2 a hole.
All right, so there's no beer consumed.
Okay, so
how many Diet Cokes? Over under 10?
I'm gonna go with 11 or 12.
He had 12 Diet Cokes and 6 packs of peanut M&Ms.
So he was on. See, he was on a diet. He was drinking Diet Coke. That's why he could eat the peanut M&Ms. He could, you know, he wasn't getting the calories because of the Diet Coke, and he was just getting those extra calories from the peanut M&Ms.
How many cigs in 18 holes of golf?
Oh man.
What, one a hole?
At least.
He had 21 cigarettes in 18 holes of golf.
Wow.
21 smokes, 12 Diet Cokes, 6 packs of peanut M&Ms. Now, Brian, obviously the human body needs water. It's a must for survival.
Uh-huh.
How much water did John Daly consume in this round of golf where he had 21 cigarettes, 12 Diet Cokes, and 6 bags of peanut M&Ms?
I would say he didn't have a sip.
0.0 ounces of water.
Yep.
Not one.
You know what he's telling to his body? Bleep you. That's what he was doing. He was killing himself, man.
So I have one final bleep you, but this also just may turn into a question for B-Mitch, which somebody can call in tomorrow for B-Mitch anything, but I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to use a little space here. I am having an incredibly hard time. You know that I can cook my steaks how I like them done. I like medium rare. If you want it medium, you want it medium well. Whatever you need, I can cook your steak for you to temperature. No mm-hmm. problem. I have that club in my bag.
All right.
It's one of the few things I'm good at along with parallel parking, right? I'm having trouble with burgers on the grill getting them less than medium. It just seems to go so much faster or something.
You mean getting them less than medium?
Like I want it medium rare, and by the time I melt the cheese and pull them off, they're always a little bit more done than I would
like. That's the problem right there. Just do the burger, boom, boom, put it into the plate, put the cheese on top, it'll melt. You don't need to melt it on the grill.
When you
cook it on both sides and then you put the cheese, you put it back on the thing, it's still cooking. So do it how you normally do it, take it off, put it on the plate, put the cheese on top of it. The cheese still melt. It's hot enough right there.
Okay. I'm into that. Yeah. I think a couple people just called in for Bleep You Thursday. Stay on the line. We will take you guys when we get to Heard It Here First. We'll do a speed round of Bleep You Thursday. Right now, we got Peter Rosenberg, ESPN New York, joining us next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. A rousing edition of Bleep You Thursday in the books. B. Mitchell Finley, presented by John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. Let the MVP of DMV Real Estate sell your home for more. Visit johnsellsdmv.com. Right now, time to go to the BetQL guest line and welcome in the king of New York, our friend, Mr. Peter Rosenberg, Hot 97, ESPN New York, a million other places. Peter, what's going on, man? How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm really good. Missed you guys last week. We didn't get to talk Commander's schedule.
Uh-huh.
Very exciting week.
I did miss you, and it's funny because I know you're so busy. So our producer, Jim Mullins, when we have a short Thursday show, and I feel like because we air Nats games, Thursday tends to be getaway day. Like, odds are if there's going to be a day game, Thursday is pretty frequently the day. He's always like, do you want me to see if Peter could come on earlier? And I know how much work you do and how often you are kind of grinding. So I always tell him, no, just let him know we're not going to. We're off the air and to let him enjoy the afternoon without us bugging him. I hope you know that. I try to let you get your sleep in between programs.
In other words, he wants you to say, man, I'll come on earlier.
If you guys feel it's a week where, you're off early, but it's something I'd be good on, listen, just say, hey, this, call in early. I got you guys.
All right,
we'll get there. Well, since we didn't have you last week, what was your takeaway on the schedule?
That's the first time I can recall. I mean, I could be wrong. My memory's not great, but like such a great opportunity to start the season on a good foot, which is, it always feels like this team is working from behind the eight ball. Like, God, guys, how many years does it feel like we're sitting at 3-6? It feels like every year we are 3-6 and hoping to be able to turn it around in the second half. And when you see the start of Jacksonville and Detroit, you really kind of think if we're going to be a halfway decent football team, mm-hmm. I just mean a halfway decent football team, you start the season 2-0.
Yep.
Like that's if you are just halfway decent, you are winning home against Jacksonville and at Detroit. And then, you know, for the next piece of the season there, you get three tough games in a row, potentially in Philadelphia, who we don't really understand yet. You have to imagine at Dallas is tough. And I don't see Tennessee being much worse than they were the last couple of years. So you get three tough games right after that. You have to come out. You can't split Jacksonville and Detroit. You have to come out 2-0, play the next three, and see where you're at.
See, that's the thing about it. I think that troubles me because if you look at it like that and they were to happen to lose one of those games, now you're going, oh, Lord, it's going to be a long season. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, you would.
You know, it's just – You know, I looked at it. I immediately thought that, and I said, "You know what? I'm not going to say it."
Well, listen, we have one other good spot in the season, and that would be between November 20th and December 18th. You have the bye in there, but you also have Houston, Atlanta, and the Giants twice.
Yeah,
guys, I'm talking about the Giants every day. I do not have high expectations for the Giants. Those should be. We swept them last year. Those should be winnable football games this year. Houston's obviously Houston, and Atlanta's in rebuild mode, to some degree.
Total 100%.
So that's another spot you get in late in the year where you have four that are very winnable.
The way I look at it from a scheduling standpoint, and everybody does it, and you do it because it's fun, right? You try to figure out the wins and losses. If you can split in the division, if you can go 3-3, then you've got Detroit, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Houston. They're all awful teams. If you're going to be a good team and a playoff team like you claim to be, that's four wins. That gets you to seven. Then you only need to go 3-4 in your remaining seven games, and you're at 10. Like I say, I think they're going to go 10-7. People look at me cross-eyed. It's not that hard when you do the math. Now, I understand that this football team and organization has a history of blowing winnable games. Be different, right? Yeah. Like, we're supposed to believe in you. Be different.
If you want us to look at you differently, do something different.
That's exactly right. And you win some games that people don't expect you to win, and a couple that you easily could win, but you easily could lose. Like, one that jumps on the schedule in that regard for me is Sunday, November 6th, Minnesota at home. I could easily see us losing that game. But you should win that at home. Minnesota's a fine team, but you get them out of that dome, you should be able to beat them. There's no reason you can't beat Minnesota. Go out at San Francisco and compete. You win a couple of those games, you're right. There really isn't that much because they should sweep the Giants, and there's no reason they shouldn't at least split with the Eagles. And then, of course, I'm a little scared of the Cowboys after that game at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. But listen, I really felt strongly that was a combination of many factors, including Heinicke not being ready for primetime. My bare minimum hope with Carson Wentz, in terms of him being ideally better than Heinicke, is while he may not be a stud, he would at least give you a chance in that game against Dallas. Because, you know, JP, we disagreed some. I don't think you blamed Heinicke as much as I did, but I didn't think Heinicke gave us a chance in those games against Dallas.
Peter, we've been going through the strengths and weaknesses of this football team. We saw a strength as, you know, the defensive line. As an offensive line, to be honest with you. And then we saw weaknesses as a linebacker. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, and has that – honestly, like, how much has that changed on this team? And I could actually go beyond linebacker and say that the last couple of years, there have been some nice players, but the entire secondary has not been the strength of this football team. We have been strong up front, and when you get behind that defensive front, it's nervous. All due respect to getting Kendall Fuller back, and hopefully he has a great season. I'm a little disappointed in the way things played out with Landon on account of I feel like it took us a full 2 years to figure out the best way Landon plays is not back in coverage but trying to tackle people. And it seems like the second we figured that out, he had a really great second half of last year. And, you know, frankly, I would have loved to make a play for Bradbury. I thought that would have been a nice pickup. So I agree with you on that fully.
Are you one sense that perhaps Brian and I both share, but we certainly feel with fans, is this growing frustration of a reluctance or refusal to rework contracts and try to manipulate the salary cap, and where they just want to play it all by the book and stay below the cap, whereas all these other teams are able to move things around and shake money out of trees. Are you in the camp? Yeah, I mean, the Saints, the Eagles just did it. Like, are you starting to get annoyed by that?
Yeah, I think it's a really valid point. Like, it does seem like we are always beholden to rules that other people aren't. You know, and I don't know what that is about the way that we handle things and how our capologists that we have, you know, in D.C. operate, but it is a really good point because it seems like, guys, we headed to the off season and we're just like, oh, my God, the abundance of riches. Look at this cap space. We have so many opportunities. And then it just seems like you blink. No major acquisitions, or at least ones that we feel really good about, happen. And now all of a sudden we're fighting to stay below the cap again. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't understand enough about it to know what you do differently to be a team that is able to manipulate the cap the right way and what it is to be a team that's not. But it certainly seems like we are in the have not in that category.
It certainly does. It's and it's been that way for some years, even maybe before Rivera took over. And you wonder if the freewheeling, fire up the jet, go sign everybody days are over. And if there's, you know, I mean, it's not hard to draw a line from 2 years of COVID reduction at attendance and an empty stadium and having to pay for a rebrand and all of this. I don't know, man. You don't know, but you wonder how you got to this place in so many different ways with the Commanders. I want to ask you this. It's not our normal conversation, but your Celtics, it looks like they might even get Horford back now, and they should be getting Marcus Smart. What do you think of that Eastern Conference Finals series?
I really like the Celtics in the series. I picked Miami in game one. Obviously, it did not take it didn't take Jimmy the Greek or name your dated betting reference to pick the Heat in game one, because obviously the Celtics, when they're down Marcus Smart, they're not just down the defensive player of the year, they're also down kind of the heart and soul of the team. You guys probably saw him in the huddle in street clothes screaming at people. You know, that's the kind of guy he is. So I did not like us in game one. I got to tell you, though, I like them over the course of the series. If they're both back tonight, I like them to win tonight and steal home court. And I like them to win the series in 6 or 7. But I'm not sleeping on Miami. They're a phenomenal team. I mean, listen, you have to imagine the NBA is rooting for the Boston Celtics because it gets so much sexier. I may be biased, but you guys tell me. It is so much sexier to picture the Celtics being in the NBA Finals this year than the Miami Heat, who are a really good team, but they just sort of bore me, and they're there. It feels like they're in contention constantly, and I never really care. Golden State-Boston, to me, that feels like a ratings bonanza for the NBA.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He's got Pat Riley on the other side, man. He'll bring a lot of stuff with the Heat.
He looks old, dude.
Hey, he might look old, but Pat Riley, the camera's on him more than it's on the damn coach on the sideline.
Yeah, hey. Well, that's the interesting thing about Spoelstra, right? Like, Spoelstra's at all. Yo, Spoelstra was just ranked in the greatest NBA coaches of all time. They in the NBA 75, they included Spoelstra. He is that highly regarded as a coach. But to your point, B. Mitch, he has, like, no brand recognition at all. He may be the most underrated coach in all of sports.
Mm. You know what? That's actually pretty good. I also, this is a perfect dumb radio topic that we don't have to figure out now. Jimmy Butler is the best athlete named Jimmy since who? Because he's way better than Garoppolo. And I'm trying to think of, like, I feel like there haven't been a lot of famous Jimmys in, like, 20 years. I don't know. something.
Well,
something
hold on. Let's start here. Who's the greatest Jimmy of all time?
Hendrix.
What sport did he play?
I don't know.
It's a great question. A better, when was the last time there was a better Jimmy?
Jimmy Kimmel?
Jimmy?
I don't know.
Kimmel's great. Again, a Jimmer Fredette. He's not even Jimmy, and he wasn't better than Jimmy Butler.
Jimbo Fisher's making some headlines, but he's not a Jimmy.
Yo, I really enjoyed, I got to tell you though.
I'm loving that.
I really enjoyed that Jimbo Fisher press.
College football isn't really New York City's bag, but will the Jimbo Saban stuff make your guys' show today?
Yeah, I would guess so, because we love talking. We're pretty enamored with kind of like the bad things about college football and like sort of the untrustworthy coach stories.
Yeah.
You know, we definitely enjoy those some. And Saban, obviously, you know, hearing someone really call out Saban like that was somewhat of import, you know, doing it.
Right.
It felt like such a big no-no. And I just loved the way Fisher put it. Like, he really called out not only Saban, but sort of the whole system that of everyone who sort of enables this idea that he's infallible, when he's clearly been doing things that are questionable for a very long time.
For a long time, man.
What?
Listen, everybody driving them damn Dodge Challengers with all the wheels and everything on them. I know those dudes don't make that type of money in college. And this is before the NIL stuff started.
Yep.
It's just like Coach K for me, where it's this dude that has accomplished so much and is obviously an incredible coach. But, like, they start to think that the rules don't apply to them and they've never broken them. And it's just like, come on, man. You're clearly out of touch. Peter, we appreciate you as always, man.
Hi, Peter.
All right. That was our friend, Peter.
Thanks, boys.
There he is. Peter Rosenberg, ESPN New York. Give him a follow at Rosenberg Radio. When we come back, one final night of betting for the boys. Let's see who could take the week. Plus, we may still have a couple people that stayed on hold. We'll find out. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. You got Will Zalatoris and Tom Hoagie.
Did you get that bet in yet? Oh, that's right. In Maryland.
It's never stopped me before, Brian. But, no, not yet. A whole bunch of people are two under, including Cam Smith, Xander Schauffele, Matt Kuchar. You got a big group at one under. Tony Finau, Patrick Reed. Some names that I know folks care about, not on the right side of things. Hideki Matsuyama's two over. Tiger Woods is two over. Jordan Spieth is two over. A lot of golf left, but you know, not the start some people were probably hoping for. But if your name is Rory McIlroy, it's certainly the start he was hoping for.
Oh, yeah, damn sure.
All right, so it's time for Heard It Here First. We're going to see exactly what we got. Let's go.
First.
All right, so, B, we know you lost last night because you needed.
I need Clay to hit two more three-pointers.
All right, and you didn't get it.
No.
Glanville, did you win last night?
No, Juan let me down again.
Glanville, I think you need a Juan Longo Ignacio intervention. I think you got to stop betting on this guy.
He's dead to me.
Yeah, okay. I think that's the intelligent move. So, Glanville, did you go 0-for this week, I think?
No, I bet on the Belgian whose name we couldn't pronounce on Monday.
That's right.
And she won.
So I went 2-1. Lamphill went 1-2. B, I think you are 1-1. Are you 0-2?
0-2, I think.
All right. So
I didn't have a bet on Monday.
Yeah. So I got you at 1-1. Today's Thursday. Yeah. Bet Tuesday and Wednesday. Said 0-2. You said 0-2.
No. I think I'm on. I don't think I. No, I did win the first one. No, I didn't.
Okay.
I'm 0-2.
All right. 0-2.
I lost last night and the night before.
So,
I get two best tonight to make sure I catch up for Monday.
That's fine. I think it might be square action, but I'm taking it anyway. I'm going with the Celtics to win tonight. I think they pick one up.
It is square.
Yeah. Listen, I think a lot of people are taking it. Miami's really good, and perhaps it's dumb.
What are you taking, the money line?
I was going to take plus three.
Okay. Give me the minus three.
You taking the Heat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, we're going heads up. Now, you get two bets if you want.
That's one of them I got already.
Now, these are two separate bets, right? Not a parlay?
No, I'm gonna do a parlay for one bet, and then I'm going to do a regular bet.
All right. B's trying to get
to 3 points.
I'm trying
to win it. I'm trying to win the thing.
Well, I mean, you could, because I'm 2-1 right now, and if I'm taking the Celtics, and if the Heat win would give you a win and me a loss. So, pretty strategic pick so far.
Okay. I'm trying to Rory is now plus 340, JP. Plus, you get it went up. Some more money.
Must have given one back. I'm not doing it. I'm not taking the bait.
Trying to help you out, man.
Not taking the bait, B. Speech just got a birdie.
I think I'm going to have to go Heat and the under. That's my one bet.
Okay.
And then the other. Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo having over 40 points. Nope, that's not going to work. Mm-mm, can't do that.
What do you got, Landfill, while B-Mitch shops around?
I'm going to take the Everton money line.
I'll take Jimmy Butler, 25 points.
Or more?
Or more.
Okay. So your parlay is Heat and under, and then you have Jimmy Butler over 25 points.
Yeah.
All right, Landfill's got Everton. I'm taking the Celtics.
All right.
Fun day on the program today. Thank you to Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban for
and
a hell of an afternoon.
And thank you to Jeff, too, for knowing somebody on OnlyFans, but they wouldn't call him back.
I wonder how you know what? He must only be a fan and not a friend. Thank you to Ethan Cadeau for joining us from NBC Sports Washington. Thank you to UVA lacrosse legend Danny Gladding for joining us. Thank you to Peter Rosenberg, ESPN New York. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Ask B. Mitch Anything, and we might have some Carson Wentz news to discuss. Don't go anywhere. Grant and Danny coming your way next. If you made it this far, Jeff owes you an OnlyFans password.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.